You're listening to Para X.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and tonight's guest are not necessarily those of this radio network, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Listener discretion is advised. Now lock your doors, open your minds, and prepare yourself to go
beyond the edge.
Sunday night. Time for the hottest alternative talk radio on the planet. Welcome to Beyond the Edge Radio. Two hours of fascinating guests, mind-blowing topics, and stimulating conversation. All here on your home for the best alternative talk radio. This is Beyond the Edge Radio. Nervous? Scared? Don't be afraid. The wait will be over soon. Sit down, strap in, and hold on tight. You're about to be taken beyond the edge.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Beyond the Edge Radio, live here on the Para X Radio Network. It is Sunday night, 1 minute after 8 o'clock here on the East Coast. We are digging out from the lack of a snowstorm we had this weekend, and we are alive and well here in southwestern Pennsylvania and in Maryland. My name is Eric Altman, your host and producer of tonight's program, and with me, hot off the heels of the Monsters and Mysteries in America segment this past Friday night, featuring the Sykesville Monster, the one and only television star, Lon Strickler. Good evening, Lon. How you doing?
I'll be signing autographs after the show. God, we're supposed to get a foot of snow tonight. I mean, tonight and tomorrow, so I'm not looking forward to that.
I heard the heavy stuff's coming. They predicted, first it was supposed to be 10 to 12 inches for us, then 8 to 12, then it dropped to 5 to 8, then it dropped to 2 to 4, and I think we ended up getting maybe 2.5, 3 inches out of the whole deal.
Yeah, we're going to get nailed tomorrow. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Baltimore, Washington area are going to get hit hard. So that's something to look forward to.
That's what I fully suspect. And, as long as you have your shovel ready and a good bag of salt, you'll be pretty good to go.
I call the neighbor kid.
Well, have him come over, pay him, and he'll break his back. There you go.
It's easier that way. Yeah,
there
sure.
You go. Well, welcome to tonight's program, folks. Eric and Lon with you tonight. As you notice, missing in action tonight is our good friend and color commentator, the Fork Chop, Sean Forker. Unfortunately, Sean had several deaths in the family this week and won't be able to join us, so we want to send our condolences to Sean and his family for the loss of his great-grandmother and his godmother. And he will be back next week on the program. Joining us tonight about 8:30 will be Amy Perry, who was with us last week, our brand-new paranormal news correspondent. She'll be joining us at 8:30 to help field your questions and comments and chat from the chat room and asking them live on the air. And we're going to have her join us probably in about half an hour from now. And also joining us half an hour, tonight's guest, Lon. This is going to be a really interesting program, no doubt about it. It's going to be a fascinating show tonight with Kiwani Lapsaritis, and we're going to be talking about the paranormal Sasquatch, the psychic Sasquatch, and the Sasquatch people.
Well, you know, I like to talk about that. I kind of like the interdimensional paranormal Sasquatch theory, so yeah, I'm going to be very interested to hear what he has to say about all this.
Yeah, me too. A lot of folks are excited about tonight's program. We've got to say a special thank you to Craig Woolheater over at Cryptomundo for advertising the show for us, and he's going to do that whenever it comes to cryptid shows. He's going to put it up on his blog, cryptomundo.com. Check out that website. And also want to say thanks to everybody who's been spreading the word and getting the podcast and the archives and the live show out there into the public eye. We thank you all for that. We are doing really well on the Stitcher ratings, from what I understand, Lon.
Yeah, it's doing real well. We're actually in the top 20 in our category, which is science and medicine, but that's where all the paranormal shows go. And quite frankly, we've only got five or six paranormal shows ahead of us, and those are big hitters too. Those are ones with the finances and the networks, and we're ahead of a few of those as well. So, yeah, we're doing pretty well.
Not bad for a bunch of country hillbillies, huh? With a little mediocre radio show.
Yep.
But we want to thank everybody for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of our listeners, our new and our older listeners who've been with the show for a while. And thanks for tuning in to the live show and the archives as well. You're in for a real treat tonight, folks. We're going to be talking Sasquatch, as I said, with Kiwani Lapsaritis. His real name is Jack Lapsaritis, but he has changed it, and he goes by Kiwani now. And we'll be talking with him at the bottom of the hour at 8:30. And just to real quickly throw out there a couple of announcements slash events slash guests coming up on the program. For the remainder of March, I'll run through this really quickly. March 9th, Karen Dolan comes onto the program with us. We'll be talking with her about UFOs and paranormal, the connection between the two. She is a UFO paranormal investigator, lecturer, and host of the radio program Through the Keyhole. And that is found on the Paranormal Radio Network. And Karen will be discussing the connection between the paranormal and UFOs.
Well, that'd be interesting. We don't talk a whole lot about that, so that'll be something new.
Something new for us, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then March 16th, from the very popular television program Ghost Hunters and the spinoff program Ghost Hunters International, he is a founder of Patch Ministries and a motivational speaker. His name is Dustin Perry. And thanks to Amy, she is friends with Dustin, and Dustin has agreed to come on the show, and we'll be talking to him on March the 16th.
Very good. I don't know. I don't know him that, you know, at all, to be quite honest with you, but sounds like something to be interesting, and I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well. I met him last year. He was at Phenomenology, and mm-hmm. he'll be at Phenomicon this year, or Phenomenology 106. And he's one of the featured speakers this year, so I'll be getting to see him again. And he'll be coming on March 16th, right just about a month before Phenomenology. So
right.
Looking forward to seeing him and talking with him. March 23rd, we'll be talking with a 30-year veteran in television, radio, and that deals in the outdoors, things such as fishing, hunting, camping, outdoors-related activities. His name is Steve Jones, and he is a member of Team Spectre, a paranormal research group out of Ohio, and he worked extensively during the 80s and 90s with a longtime Bigfoot researcher and an icon in the field, Robert W. Morgan, and they did a lot of research in Ohio. So Steve has agreed to come on the show. He's a great guy, has a lot of interesting stories to share with us about Bigfoot, about his experiences with Bigfoot and working with Robert. Plus, he's going to talk about his paranormal research with Team Spectre.
That sounds very interesting.
Can't wait to talk to Steve.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
Yes. And then finally, March 30th, we're going to get into a little conspiracy again, something we very rarely do here on the show, but we're going to be talking about the occult and Freemasonry. Robert Sullivan is an author, and he's written a book called Occult Freemasonry, The Royal Ark of Enoch, The Impact of Masonic Ritual Philosophy and Symbolism. And he's coming on the show March 30th to discuss the Freemasons, how they relate to the occult, and the story behind it. So it's going to be very fascinating to talk with Robert about that subject.
That does sound very fascinating. I've been involved with some, you know, offshoots of that. So, yeah, that'll be pretty cool.
There's always been kind of rumblings or a rumor mill floating around about the Masons and their involvement in the occult, and if they are or they aren't. Some folks say there's nothing to do with the occult, but there's all these symbols that you can find out there. I know a lot of our forefathers, founding fathers of the United States, were Freemasons. It's been around for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. So we're going to check into that next March 30th with Robert Sullivan on the program.
Very good.
Then a couple of quick announcements for some events coming up for March and April. In just 2 weeks, the Cabela's Strange, Rare, and Unusual Sighting Seminar will take place March 14th, 15th, and 16th at Cabela's in Wheeling, West Virginia, just outside of Wheeling, and Tridelphia, West Virginia. The keynote speaker for that event is Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum. Our good friend Stan Gordon will be there, Billy Willard from Sasquatch Watch of Virginia, David Dragazin, which I've got to send a quick get well wish out to Dave, our good friend Dave Dragazin, who's just recovering from open heart surgery. So, Dave, if you're listening tonight or you listen to the podcast archives, please hang in there, buddy. Get well. We're thinking about you, and hope you're back on your feet again soon. But hopefully Dave will be at that event to lecture. I'll be there, and they're going to have a meet and greet, an open forum with the speakers. I forgot to mention the Squatch Detective Steve Calls will be there as well. The vendor room open to the public. All kinds of fun events going on that weekend, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. Just go to Cabela's.com. That's Cabela's.com. Click on the store tab, find the location for Wheeling, West Virginia, and then scroll down to the events listing, and you'll see it there. All the details are available on that page. On March the 28th and 29th, The Unexplained returns to the Cambridge Public Library. It's a lecture series given, a free lecture series given on Bigfoot, UFOs, the paranormal, presented by the Southeastern Ohio Society for Bigfoot Investigations. Again, March 28th and 29th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day at the Crossroads Branch Library Auditorium in Cambridge, Ohio. Again, it is open and free to the public. There will be paranormal lecturers, UFO Bigfoot groups, two-day event, vendor tables, 50-50 drawings, lunch stand, and more. For more information, contact Doug Waller at southeasternohiobigfoot@gmail.com. Again, southeasternohiobigfoot@gmail.com. April 5th, our good friends Brian and Terry Seach and Dan Hagman, we'll be talking about Dan here in just a moment, will be hosting the 7th Annual Butler Paranormal Conference, April 5th. It'll take place at the Tanglewood Senior Center, 10 Austin Avenue, Lindora, PA. That's just outside of Butler. The event will run from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Admission at the door is only $10, and you get a dollar off for the donation of a non-perishable food item, which goes to help the Butler County Food Bank. This year's featured speakers include Dr. Paul Johnson, talking on Does the Paranormal Mimic Quantum Reality? Fred Saluga, who was on the show a couple weeks back, who'll be talking about the UFO and Bigfoot connection. And Patty Wilson will be speaking on Ghosts versus Demons. And Sheila Forrester will be talking on UFOs and their spiritual mission. And our good friend, the Reverend Robin Swope, will be talking on The Slender Man, or The Rake, as now they now call it. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Vendors, book signings, door prizes, raffles, all that's going to be available. Get your pictures taken with the Men in Black or the Frick Brothers. for more information, contact Daniel Hagman at www.boru-ufo.com or Brian Seach at www.centerforunexplainedevents.com. And moving on to April 10th through the 13th, Phenomicon or Phenomenology 106 will take place at the Eisenhower Hotel in Gettysburg, PA. Quite a lineup of speakers. I won't go through all of them, but I will be on hand giving a Bigfoot guided tour, a hike, on Sunday the 13th at one of the local parks very close to Gettysburg. And you can sign up for that by going to their website, phenomiconcentral.com. Find out all the speakers that are going to be there, ticket prices, hotel information. It's all right there on the website, phenomiconcentral.com. And wrapping up the month of April, April 26th, the Ohio Bigfoot Conference will take place at the Salt Fork State Park in Cambridge, Ohio. This year's featured speakers include Lyle Blackburn, Cliff Berrickman from Finding Bigfoot, Charlie Raymond from the Kentucky Bigfoot Research Group, Tom Yamaroon, and from the famous Patterson-Gimlin film, Mr. Bob Gimlin will be there as well. They also have vendor tables, displays, hikes, a VIP speaker dinner, meet and greet, and more. And for more information on that, you can go to ohiobigfootconference.com, ohiobigfootconference.com. And that's our announcements, and speakers coming up on the show in the next month or so. So invite you to attend some of these events that I'll be at and stop by and say hello. And as we mentioned, Dan Hagman from Boru, and we mentioned your show, Lon. Why don't we talk about that? Because there's a lot to talk about in the next 15 minutes. So let's start off by talking about your episode of the Sykesville Monster, which featured this past Friday night on Monsters and Mysteries in America on the Destination America channel.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much really to say other than what was on the show, but, if the listeners haven't seen it, I suggest you look at it, because it'll be repeated many times. That was a strange situation. It really was. It was back in the early 80s when, quite frankly, Bigfoot had been popular in the 70s because of the movie. What was the movie again? Boggy Creek.
The Legend of Boggy Creek.
Yeah, The Legend of Boggy Creek. And that was a really big deal. And, you know, a lot of people are going to see the movie. And then all of a sudden they start seeing Bigfoot. Well, you know, this thing in Sykesville was actually, the first sighting was actually in late 72. And the young gentleman that had the first sighting, I had talked to him briefly later on in after my sighting, but I think he really saw something. And of course, those families that were actually in that one area, and one thing they didn't cover in the story was that the majority of the witnesses were African American. This was a community in South Sykesville near the South Branch of Patapsco River. A lot of these people had a lot of these families had chicken coops in their own sheds and stuff, and this thing was breaking into them. In fact, I had talked to a witness where this creature had actually busted into one of the houses. Now, I think the Bigfoot story, the Sykesville monster story, would really not have been a big deal, I don't think. Unless the Baltimore Afro newspaper had started covering it, quite frankly, none of the media at the time, from what I understand, really wanted to discuss it. You know, this was just something that happened not long after Agnes had blown through, and you know, the big story then from the summer, late summer, was you know the Agnes, you know, Hurricane Agnes, and the destruction in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and all through the region. So, but, you know, there's just a few things that they didn't pick up in the story that I just, and that was one of them, that, why it didn't get portrayed as the witnesses were African-American, I don't know why. Maybe they didn't know about it. I don't think maybe the producer did know about it.
They never
mentioned it. Yeah, they never mentioned it to me. And quite frankly, I don't know if any of the other people that were on the show had said something to him, but,
something they left out was the police chief had actually had castings of a footprint.
Yeah, in the newspaper, it stated that, but I think John Lutz was the only one that got the, actual casting. Now that I'm not sure about. I've seen John's casting, and I thought they would have showed it on the show, but they didn't.
Yeah, John's been under the weather. He doesn't look very well.
No, well, yeah, John's, you know, of course, John, he's actually doing the big cat research, Eastern big cat research
right
now. He lives in West Virginia, so he was just there that day for that, you know, for the taping.
Okay,
but. Yeah, I had never met John before. That was the first time I met him. We talked a lot about what had gone on, and the cast he had was a four-toed cast. It was about 14 inches, and I'd say maybe at the widest 10 inches. It was pretty good size casting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people said it could have been anything. I don't know. It looked pretty good to me, so I don't know. But I know you know, much of his research, from what I understand from him, is going to be donated to the city for the town of Sykesville after he passes away.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll all be for display one day.
Well, the article that I saw, the police chief had a cast, actually showed the cast, a photograph of the cast, and supposedly mm-hmm. it disappeared when he moved away. He moved out of the Sykesville area. So who knows
yeah.
if that's really true or not. That's just from the newspaper
yeah,
article.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. I know the the Baltimore Afro actually reported that in the news.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the other media picked that up later on. So I don't know. You know, and I had asked about that, but I never saw anything.
Okay, I'm just going by the newspaper articles. I
yep.
never had the chance to talk to him. I don't think anybody has since he moved away.
Yeah,
but it was a good article or a good episode, I should say. I enjoyed it. It was good to see you on TV. Did a great job. And it was cool to see our good friend, the Pastor Robin Swope, the Reverend Robin Swope, was on talking about the Rake, also known as the Slender Man. Unfortunately, they had to change it due to copyright infringement rules.
Is that the reason why it was changed?
Yes.
Oh, my, that's right. You know, he did mention something about that before.
Hey, we got a call coming in. You want me to grab this real quick?
Sure.
We'll go ahead and grab a call from the 925 area code. Thanks for calling into BT Radio. How can we help you tonight?
Yes. What time does the Kiwani show start?
We're on live right now, sir, but Kiwani comes on in about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. And if I click on the computer site, will load up for me? I've been trying, and I'm not getting anywhere.
You go to para-x.com, and once you come to that site, there's a Listen Live tab at the top of the page, and you can click on that, and it'll take you right to a chat room, and you can listen live right through your computer.
Okay. What was the address again? I'm sorry.
It's para-x.com.
Okay, good. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks again. Bye.
Well, there we go. Another live listener, Lon.
Okay.
He's going to be tuning into tonight's program. And that's how you do it. To listen live, go to para-x.com. That's para-x.com/live.htm. Or if you just go to para-x.com, at the very top of the page, there's a button up there that says Listen Now. You click on that, it takes you right to the page, and you can listen in live and chat with us in the chat room. And we've got a lot of folks in there tonight. Thanks for everybody stopping by. We're talking very quickly about the Reverend Robin Swope, about Lon Strickler, our good friend Lon and our co-host tonight, and his episode or his segment on Monsters and Mysteries in America. Now let's get back to Robin, the Rake. A fascinating story. That's one I've never heard of before from the witness from Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I had heard of that one. Not much information, but and I did send a message to Robin. I want to discuss that with him because I have a few encounter reports that deal with the Rake. Now, you know, since he had to change the name, that's a real shame. That kind of took it. You know, I know a lot of people that are interested in the Slender Man would have really tuned in for that. They would have been able to put that up, but that is a shame.
Yeah.
So, I do want to mention something that came across this week. I was recently contacted by a witness of a winged humanoid that was actually originally reported to researcher Stan Gordon.
March of 2011.
March of 2011, the witness stated that he had subsequent sightings after his first report. So what I did, I went ahead and posted Stan's report as well as the other sightings that Dan Hagman over at BORU had collected. And there were sightings in Keppel's Corner, East Brady, Rimmersburg, all in or near Butler County. So so I went and looked at the map, and according to the witness, this thing was seen very close together. I mean, the sightings were very close together. So he went ahead and sent me this new subsequent report. So I'm going to quickly read it here. Lon, about 2 weeks after, 2 weeks after March 18, 2011, the original sighting, I was driving on the same road in the opposite direction. It was just after daylight, not even a mile from the initial spot of the first sighting. I witnessed on my left in a field the same creature hunked down about 10 foot behind a round bale of hay. Even hunched down, this thing seemed about 3 foot taller than the bale. It was looking straight at me. I did not notice any glowing or strangeness in his eyes. In the light of the morning, and being west side of the bale, I had a great cast to it. Its hands, claws were black and down on the ground like you see a gargoyle statue. There was not any snow on the ground, just the hay field and the round bales. I slowed down and watched it. The wings were partially seen on its back, above the shoulders, just like a gargoyle statue. About a month after that, I witnessed it next to a wooded area in a hollow about 500 yards from the previous sighting. It was going into the woods around dusk. I saw it from the side, and then its back as it entered the woods. I know others have seen it as well. I intentionally left out details of my first sighting. I did not report my second or third sightings in order to wait and see if anyone else would report it, and if they did, what they had seen. I was hoping it was not the only. I was not the only one to see it. Turns out many people have seen it, and a few reported it. When I had my sighting, I did not know where or who to report something like this to. After a search on the internet, I found Stan Gordon's website, so I asked him not to give out my name. I have heard from locals in the area that it's been seen for years. There are many farms in this location, and a family had a history of something going on, but never told too many people about it. I even did some research into the sightings. There are newspaper reports going way back on this. It's the same area the historic Chicora meteor explosion took place. Although not related, I did find out that in the 70s, there had been a bunch of sightings of this and a hairy creature that is still seen north of here. It was great to talk to you on the phone, and, a lot of, and that's it. So it was the same guy. You verified with me it was the same guy.
Yeah,
so,
I've talked to him before, too.
Yeah, and, you know, this Chicora meteor thing, that was a pretty interesting event as well. You know, I put a link to it in the post, but it was a it was something that happened, I think, in 1939. So I don't know. You know, I don't know the whole story on, but it was near to Pittsburgh. But you know, that's what I got. So you know, I don't know if Dan wants to. You know, I sent it over to Stan. I don't know if Dan wants to follow up on this or.
It might be a good idea to send it to Dan as well. I can get you his contact information.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that area has had a lot of weird cryptid sightings, not just the gargoyle or flying hominid or whatever it was that crossed the road. Why'd the chicken cross the road? Because he was being chased by a flying hominid. sorry, bad joke. But we investigated, the PBS investigated a report out of the Chicora area this summer where a coyote hunter claimed that he shot at a Bigfoot creature at very close range, within 50, maybe 100 feet. And we sent several groups up in that area. Several teams did nighttime outings in that area. And we never really found any definitive proof to back up his story other than the fact that this guy was ex-military, former Iraqi veteran, and was pretty shaken up when we interviewed him. And we found no evidence to say that he did shoot at anything. We found nothing broken, no brush broken, no trees broken. No trails or anything like that. So all we could take was his story for what it was. And I know there have been other Bigfoot sightings up in that area and other strange reports. So we're keeping an eye on that area.
Yeah, I had a small humanoid, flying humanoid sighting up. I guess you remember the ferry that this gentleman had mentioned to me. He actually sent drawings of it that he lived in Chicora. And he had seen that. He was pretty, him and his witnesses, his family and friends saw it as well. So, you know, it might be out one of those hot spots we talk about, but it seems like a lot of stuff comes from that Chicora area.
Yeah, it very well could be. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I know he spent a lot of time up there, and our good friend Brian Seach has spent a lot of time up there, and other investigators. Fred Saluga has been up there a lot. It's a very interesting area, a lot of forest cover up there, a lot of coal mining area up there, swamps, and it's a decent habitat for something to be running around, that's for sure. So,
yeah.
Well, we've come to the bottom of the hour, and as I told you off the air, it would fly by pretty quick. So
yeah.
It has. And we're going to go take our break. Amy Perry is going to be joining us in the next few minutes. She's going to be watching the chat room tonight for us, taking your questions. And, of course, we'll be taking your questions by phone at 877-677-2858. That's toll-free, 877-677-2858. We'll open the phone lines after 9 this evening. Kiwani Lapsaritis is our guest tonight. We'll be talking about the psychic Sasquatch and the Sasquatch people. His 35-plus years of coexisting, having a relationship with these beings. He's a contactee, an experiencer, an author, and he is coming up next on the show, folks. So it's going to be a really interesting program tonight. I've never talked to Kiwani. He was suggested by a good friend of the show, John McDonald. So we reached out to him. He's agreed to come on, and he'll be joining us in just a few minutes. So you ready to head to break, Lon?
Yes, I am.
All right, folks. Get your cold one out of the fridge now. Prop your feet up. Grab a nice warm blanket because it's going to be a good night tonight, folks. You don't want to miss it. Keep it right here. This is BTE Radio Live on the Para X Radio Network. When we come back, we've got Amy Perry joining us and Kiwani Lapsaritis. Stay right where you're at.
This ain't your granddaddy's radio show. This is Beyond the Edge Radio.
Welcome back to tonight's program. This is Beyond the Edge Radio, live here on the Para X Radio Network, BTE Radio as we like to call it for short. My name is Eric Altman, your host and producer of tonight's program. With us tonight, our co-host and from fresh off the TV show Monsters and Mysteries in America, Lon Strickler. Good evening, Lon. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Good. Glad to hear it. And joining us tonight to help us watch the and monitor the chat room with your questions, last week she made her debut here on Beyond the Edge Radio and did such a great job, we asked her to come back tonight to help out again. Amy Perry, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back. You're so sweet.
I try. And we've got a great guest tonight on the show. I'm very excited about this. One of our listeners suggested we get a hold of Mr. Lapsaritis, and I reached out to him, and I was very surprised he got back to me. I know he's very busy, and he's an accomplished author, makes quite a number of trips from his home to different locations, and he's been working with the Sasquatch people for, as he just told us off the air, 57 years now. And he has two books out there. The Sasquatch People is his latest. The first, The Psychic Sasquatch, which, by the way, I tried to find a copy of it on eBay, and I can't find a copy for sale that's reasonably priced. They're going for $100 to $150 for the book. And I believe they're out of print currently, but they should be back in print, from what I'm understanding, in the very near future.
It's not out of print with me. You can go to SasquatchPeople.com and order it there.
Fantastic.
I've been telling them right along.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And that voice you heard is our guest tonight on the program, Kiwani Lapsaritis. SasquatchPeople.com is the website, as he mentioned. Kiwani, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday evening with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure to talk with you. And before we jump into the Sasquatch People, can you give us a little background about yourself? I know you said you have a science background, and you've been doing this for quite some time now, your field research. So if you could give us a little background about yourself, who you are, and where in the country you reside, and our listeners can get a little bit more familiar with you.
Yes, I'm a social scientist with 4 degrees. I've taught anthropology briefly at a New England college back in the 70s, and I'm lectured all over the United States and Canada, and I'm basically made my living as a health consultant. I've lectured at medical colleges and clinics and those kinds of things as well. I became interested in the Sasquatch phenomena many years ago, and I've gone all over the world, actually, investigating, including into the Himalayas in 1968. Coming from a background with a Darwinian perspective, that it was surprising to me when 35 years ago, this coming September here, I was in Wisconsin hiking around, and a Sasquatch and an ET spoke to me telepathically, and it was the shock of my life, truly. I didn't was not fearful. I was just stunned by this and confused, actually. So I thought, well, this is a one-shot deal. It's just one of these situations, and I'll never tell anyone. And so the thing is, it became ongoing, and I struggled with this for 2 years. I was in and out of denial while I was still having ongoing experiences. So at present, I live in the foothills of the Washington Cascades, and I've had lots of experiences with them here, sometimes on a daily basis, because there's a portal 130 feet from my front door here into the forest where they come in and out of. There's pictures that I have of the Sasquatch people, the ancient ones, and even the guardians, those with the, they call them the dog face people, but they're humans, even though they look like a werewolf type of beings. So there's these strange situations once one gets involved interdimensionally, because that's what it's all really all about. And I've gone on expeditions all over the United States, from Pennsylvania and Vermont and New Hampshire and so forth, and California and Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, many of these places. And I go to visit the different tribes, because here, they're here all the time. So there's some tribes that consider me family, and that if I go there, they're waiting for me. It's they interact with me right away. And it's, you know, I never thought anything like this could happen, because researchers spend, you know, 40, 50, and a couple of them 60 years, basically, looking for Sasquatch, and never found anything but a couple of tracks. And here, the contactees that I've documented, 254 percipients that have had psychic experiences with the Sasquatch people. Some of them dematerialized, like with myself, in front of me twice. And again, having mental telepathy, having communication with them is the key to everything, to understanding them. And they seem to be drawn or attracted to people who have a gentle heart and who loves nature, loves animals, and has a lot of respect for people as well. And so without realizing, and I fell into that category, and I found out through interviewing people over the years that all these other contactees have the same commonality.
Let me ask you, Kiwani, being that you have a scientific background, you had mentioned that you were first contacted through telepathy. They spoke to you. What did you do with your background to try to scientifically rule out that this was going on? I'm sure that you had to have sat down and tried to rationally work through this and come up with some kind of scientific explanation that this was really happening.
Well, there are other people experiencing them in the same place that I was in Wisconsin at that time.
Okay.
So they experienced the spaceships landing, and then within the hour, there was a Sasquatch looking in their window that the whole family saw, five people. And the dog would go berserk, trying to get away and everything, even though it was in the house. It was just freaking out. But as far as scientifically speaking, I do what other, I would say, based on what I know of other researchers, I do the opposite of the other 99%. I follow the evidence to where it objectively leads me, and not subjectively weed out the paranormal information that invalidates everything that they've done, because it doesn't have anything to do with science if you subjectively throw away data. It's not scientific at all. So what I've done is scientific. I've taken it as far as I can go, and I just keep documenting. It's not my fault that the scientific paradigm needs to be revamped to include anecdotal information and other very important data that's being ignored.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. I tend to see these days, especially being in what they call the Bigfoot community for the past 17 years, I see a lot of closed-mindedness from researchers that, for some reason or another, because in their mind it can't be to them scientifically proven that Bigfoot has the ability to communicate through telepathy or the ability to dissolve in front of you or tracks just end in the middle of nowhere for no reason. There's no reason that can explain to them why it does it, so they completely rule it out, as you mentioned.
Well, this is really quantum physics, and they I've read quantum physics as well, and they'd start to understand some of this, but they don't understand it's a interdisciplinary approach to this particular problem, and it's not just a black and white kind of situation. So if they don't like the word psychic, then they should start using the word quantum physics, because it's synonymous.
Well, it's great that you bring that point up, because a very good friend of mine is a college professor in chemistry, and that's the way he is looking at this phenomenon, especially the cases that you're describing, the cases of, they call them high strangeness, that can't be explained through rational science. He looks at it through quantum physics and compares the difference between the two.
Yeah, after a while, though, I mean, in the beginning, Eric, I was wanting proof. And I'd go out with a zoom lens movie camera and another camera and with equipment and stuff. Well, I don't care anything about that. When they're ready to give me information, they'll give it to me, which they have. So, like, they want me to do a third book, and then the fourth book would be photographs. So this is what they're telling me. So it's when they're ready to give, and whoever they feel like giving it to is the key to it all, by being friends, not trying to bully one's way into their territory and to upset them and their families, you know, by coming in with guns or cameras.
Sure.
That they don't want people in there. And that's why they make noise and growl and stomp around and even throw rocks. I know so far no one that's ever been hit by a rock thrown by them. And though I must have heard about it maybe 20, 30 times over the years. So it's just to get people out of the area. It has nothing to do with harming them, because they could kill a man or deal with a person very easily by walking up and being invisible and just do you in. But that isn't who they are. There are people that are 100 times more evolved than we are. In fact, they're more human than we are, because they haven't started any wars, and they don't go around killing members of their family like we do. Just read the newspapers or watch the TV. It's happening every day. This is outrageous. And they have seen the white Europeans come over and how we dealt with the First Nations people and how we decimated them, how we treated Afro-American people into slavery, and some plantation owners treated their dogs better than they did black people. Then the Chinese that came over to work on the railroads, they treated them as subhumans. So we've got a problem, a big problem that's carried over culturally, that, you know, the bigotry and all of the racial prejudices are now carried over into the Sasquatch people. And they're being prejudiced against by people that want to go out with guns to shoot them. And I know who these people are, and I really find it, you know, more than distasteful to me. It's an affront. These people are potential murderers when they strut around and saying that they, you know, they're researchers, but they don't tell people that they carry high-powered rifles and stuff.
Well,
and I know who these people are.
Sure, and I've never carried a weapon with me in the woods. I deer hunt and small game hunt, but I've never carried a weapon in the woods with me when I've gone out looking for the Sasquatch.
Yeah, well, that's good for you.
Trying to encounter them. I've carried cameras at first, and I don't carry them as much as I used to. Matter of fact, I don't carry much electronic equipment any longer. I usually just go out with maybe a radio, a two-way radio to keep in touch with those I'm out with, and a GPS or a compass. Just small things now I go out with. I don't carry the tools I used to. And I used to have the mindset of wanting to document and prove that they were there and to prove to science they exist. You know, these things are real. They need protected. But over the years, and especially in the last probably 10 years, I've kind of started to shy away from that. And now I don't care if I prove they exist or not. I just want to have an encounter with them. I want to be able to see one for myself to know that they are truly out there, not so much to convince anyone else, but just to convince myself. And there have actually been times when I've gone out with absolutely no equipment whatsoever, just a cell phone in my pocket and my car keys and hoping to have some experiences. I haven't yet had something that I can definitely say was a Sasquatch experience. I've had some very unusual things happen in the forest that I can't explain. And we talked off air, a good friend, mutual friend of ours, Dave Page, and I, when I first started research back in the late 1990s, he and I went out for many years together. And he had that psychic connection that you brought up and mentioned. And he would always tell us, I know they're here. They don't want us here. Or they're not comfortable of us approaching them. And matter of fact, several times he told us that when we were on an investigation together. And then we would hear a wood knock, or we would hear heavy brush break. And it was almost like a confirmation what he was saying. Sure, there's something really there, although I never did see it. So,
have you ever gone out for, let's just say, for 1 week, camping out, or 10 days, just one place, one good area, and just stay in one place, not stalk them, not look for them, but sit quietly, read, write, whatever you feel you want to do quietly, and then wait for them in their primate curiosity to come to you?
Yes, I have done that. I've camped out several times over the past 17 years and for a week or two and haven't had any experiences that I can say were Sasquatch people. I've had things happen at camp or hear something moving around where I could never see what it was, but I couldn't say for sure if that was a Sasquatch person or not. Might have been.
Yeah.
Might have been.
Anyway, important that a person, if they want to make contact, is to have a pure heart and no fear, no anger, no issues brought with that person. And it will increase their chances of contact. And by staying in one place, one time I stayed for 5 months in one place in 1981, and they came around exactly 15 times.
Wow.
So I'm a master herbalist and I have wilderness skills, and so I was eating wild foods and I'd meditate every day, first thing in the morning, then have breakfast and then start reading. And I was working on my first book at the time, so I was writing, rewriting and rewriting chapters. And I had a big tent, a walk-in tent, and then another tent I'd had of equipment in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go pick wild foods as well. There was a lot of wild food there available, and this was in Michigan at the time. So, at any rate, it's important not to stalk them, because that's what people do, is drive them away, and they won't have any positive experiences, from them.
I've heard that
before.
They're
really a very kind and gentle people. It's just us and our energy that we bring with us out there that upsets them, because they're ultra sensitive. They even have a sense of humor. When I was working on my second book, I had my editor here, and every evening we'd go for a walk. She stayed for 3 days trying to connect with the ancient ones. The ancient ones are those with the human face and the round heads. They don't have the sagittal crests, and their arms are not down to their knees like with a Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Sasquatch themselves look like a gorilla or an ape, they are more human than we are and more evolved than we are. But the ancient ones have beautiful faces. I mean, some of the women that I've seen, could easily win Miss America, and I truly mean that. I think it's in Europe they call them the fawns that people would run into in a woodcutter, and they would seduce the woodcutter. Hmm. Well, it's still going on, and one tried to seduce me by asking me, and I refused at the time. But this is real, no matter how it seems, that this is a part of universal reality. I mean, like I said, I've had over 1,000 encounters with them, psychic encounters. Mm-hmm. I've seen them 8 times in the physical. They've touched me 5 times, and they've done a lot of healing work on me as well, the different times that I was ill. So they are incredible people, but you've got to befriend them and not chase them around. And people who have cameras, and so I don't bring guns, I just bring a camera, mm-hmm. would still, with it in mind, that they want to exploit them by selling a picture for $100,000 or more if it's a close-up or things like that, and that's exploiting them, and they won't allow that. They are allowing some pictures to be taken more at a distance in order to, they told me about 5 years ago, they wanted to come out more and by showing themselves more and by being partly on a film without giving everything away to people. I said to them actually back then, I said, well, one of your people, like an elder or a child that loses its tooth, I said, you should give me the tooth and I'll go and have it, the DNA analyzed, and then it'll prove without any doubt that you are a people. And that way it'll settle it for good. And instead of saying yes or no or anything, he said, Kiwoni, now you're starting to sound like all the other researchers, but we know you're not. You have an open heart. This is not how we deal with the situation. This conversation has now ended.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he wasn't rude or anything. It's we're not going to talk about the subject matter because we've already settled it out, and I'm not going to waste my time talking with you about it or arguing with you about it, kind of thing. And I just let it go because I know them.
Sure.
And they're very to the point and blunt, and they don't waste any energy trying to argue with anyone.
Kawhi, in your writings, you maintain that the Bigfoot race was brought to Earth by the Star People long before human civilization. Can you explain that? Explain your theory?
I don't have a theory on that. This is what they told me.
Okay.
And they've never lied to me. They've never lied to me, and they've told me stuff that I won't talk about that was just mind-blowing to me, and it was wonderful. But they told me they were brought here millions of years ago during the time of the dinosaurs because this planet was available. And they said they had a hard time for a while with the dinosaurs to figure out to stay away from some of them. And I asked them about the Paloxi River footprints in limestone, and right beside these giant human footprints are dinosaur tracks. And they said that was our people. And I said, was that the hairless giants? And they said, no, the hairless giants were brought here much later than that. So they said that they used the word seeded. And I said, seeded? And they said, yes, your people were seeded much later than us. And I said to them, well, are you the missing link that people talk about, just to see what this particular individual said? And he answered me, and he started chuckling. And I said, what's so funny? And he said, you people are the missing link. You don't know where you've come from or where you're going. So I just, that kind of shut me up, because he said it so bluntly, and yet he was humored by what he was saying, but he was saying it because it's true. We're a violent race of people all over the planet, and that's all we do is fight and destroy the earth? What kind of stewards are we of this planet? What kind of people are we? When people say to me, well, how come if they're been talking to you for 35 years, why don't they just come out then? Well, come out to be shot? People are just, you can't trust them. And they know that they can't trust us. And they've told people, other people, they said, we know Kiwoni, he's one of the few people that we can trust. He helps us and we help him, quote, unquote, from a woman in Quebec that was interacting with them.
Is this where your connection with UFOs and the Bigfoot come into play here? Or is there something else?
Well, when you say come into play, I mean, they interact all the time with ETs. They're raising families in the wilderness, but now they're very busy because the planet's dying, and they said that World War III has already started. They just haven't started dropping the bombs yet. Said it's so volatile. And they said, and your people are so relaxed about everything and thinking that everything is cool when 75 to 80% of the fish in the ocean are already gone, probably more now that the radiation from Japan has reached the shores of the west coast here, where sea lions and dolphins and whales and starfish and many other animals are dying right now as we speak.
Have they ever suggested to you that they may, and I'm talking about the aliens and or the Bigfoot, that they may actually be future beings coming back to help us get through the problems that they know about?
They haven't said that, Ron, but it's a possibility. They told me that this coming summer that they want to take me through a different portal to meet more beings, and that they will start to tell me more about planet Earth and our solar system and how everything evolved. All the they use the word all the mysteries. Mm-hmm. We will start sharing. So I don't have enough for a third book, but they tell me it'll be a small book. And that it'll be, I think it was about 14 months ago, an ET said to me that when we take you through, that you'll understand this other dimension that your people have a problem with, and you'll be able to describe it to the public. Uh-huh. So I think what they're going to do is to have me write about my visit over there. Now, they've taken me twice, but erased my mind both times. The first time was in northeast Texas, and in October of, in fact, it was October 28th, 2004. And I asked to be taken by the ancient ones, and they said they would. And at the last minute, they said no, because two truckloads of people, and I saw the trucks with guns come in to hunt them. So they quickly took their families and left. But that night, ETs came and took me 16 years into the future, to 12 years into the future to 2016. And then they erased my mind, they said, and they said that I saw many wondrous things that they taught me more about healing, that I could use that to help other people in the near future. So these ETs time traveled me. So some of them, maybe all of them, I do not know, have access to time travel, whether they're coming back to help us or what, I don't know, but they've been here for millions of years, and there's bases in the oceans and in the Great Lakes and inside of dormant volcanoes all over the planet, actually. So they're well entrenched, but because they're interdimensional, they can easily manipulate our three-dimensional world and avoid us, and yet they can do mining work, which the Sasquatch often do to help their friends, the friendly ETs. So there's a lot I don't know yet, Ron, but they could be time travelers coming back to help us. But if they are, I'm glad, because we're in big, big trouble. Mm-hmm. One of my degrees is in conservation from the University of New Hampshire. So for years, I've been following, before the word ecology was even coined, I've been following in the environmental sciences in my world travels, because I lived out of the country for 5 years. I lived in England, then in East Africa, then I moved to Japan, and then from Japan I immigrated to Australia. And then later, when I was in the United States, I did an ethnographic study amongst the Tucuna Indians of Upper Amazonia in conjunction with the Columbian Institute of Anthropology in Bogota. So I spent a lot of time trying to understand this phenomena and interacting with other cultures in order to get a broader perspective of everything.
I guess you had a question, Amy?
Yeah, I do have a question. Paula was asking, and it pertains to vortexes. Let me go ahead and scroll back here a second. I apologize, I lost it. Oh, no, here we go.
Go ahead,
please.
She wanted
to know if you could explain, if you think that Sasquatch are coming in and out of our realm through vortexes, and you did mention a portal outside your home as well.
So the question is?
Do you believe that Sasquatch come into our world through vortexes?
Yes, they do, but let me explain, as they explained to me. I used to use the word vortex and portal interchangeably, and they corrected me. In fact, it was a young Sasquatch, young ancient one, and said, This is a portal, and it's not dangerous, and it's different from a vortex. And I, all this time, I didn't know that. So they told me that the star people in the ships would land by a vortex and would get some kind of energy from it, whether it's to charge up their spaceships or what. I don't know. They haven't said that, but they told me that much. And that the portals are used by all kinds of different beings. Even in Hawaii, the Menahuni, the little people. So all these beings are all interdimensional. In other words, they can dematerialize and yet be here in the physical. They can do teleportation, leaving from one geographic area to another, though there's some limitations, they said, with that. They can leave their bodies and astral project into people's homes and touch people, but you can't touch them back, because the words I use to define it is, we are physical dense, they're physical etheric.
Okay.
As they have access to 8 different dimensions, they told me. And the portal is just one of them that is in a parallel world. Let me quickly read a statement made by a woman who's an ancient one named Haloti, and that's in her language. This is in my book in Chapter 5 of the Sasquatch people and their interdimensional connection.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, your world not same as our world. Your time not same our time. Your space not same our space. A thin cloth hang between these places that open and shut. There is no I or me. We are all one. Each one is a part of the whole. What one does, all do. They're talking about themselves. You may see us as Brother Crow or Brother Wolf. Listen to the stones, speak to the trees. In other words, it took me a while to understand all of this, and that they're talking about quantum physics here, Haloti is, and I interacted with her a lot. She was a wonderful person. That she's giving me an idea of how they're interconnected. In other words, they can talk to the Yetis in the Himalayas from here. They can talk to the beings that are in Japan, the hairy folks that are in China and India, these places. They said there are seven different races of their people. Some are small, some are medium-sized, some are large, some are extra-large. And so they're giving me an idea here of how they can project themselves into a crow or into another animal. Three times ravens spoke to me, but they were through them. Twice they did through a hawk. So they have this ability, and we must wake up to it. I don't understand how, after almost 60 years, all these veteran researchers are still scratching their heads. They can't figure out two and two. That's not a put-down. It's why don't they have the awareness? They got zero out of it after all these years. And even a couple of people have written, how to find Sasquatch. What's a guidebook when they themselves never even seen one. They've been unsuccessful. So you've got to listen to what being told, I feel, in order to be successful in this field, and you must be interdisciplinary and not just, here's what they do. Researchers try so hard to be scientific that they throw away the missing link to all of this, which is the psychic phenomena, which is not at all a dirty word. They've already proven this over and over again. Look under Dr. Dean Radin, R-A-D-I-N, and his works. He works used to work for the government doing psychic stuff. He's not a psychic. He proved everything.
Okay.
So it's all out there. It's just that nobody's reading it. They think they need to read about primates and about animals, which don't have anything to do with what's going on. Absolutely nothing. So in essence, 99% of the research really know very little about Sasquatch because they haven't had the experience. They haven't had the one-on-one, and it would wake them up and really help them a lot. So like I said, it's not a put-down. It's simply making a comparison of what I see. And I'm not trying to prove any of this. I'm merely sharing information and stating that I've documented 254 people that had these experiences, which match up perfectly with what I've experienced. And so it's important that people, otherwise they're just being Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts out there and not really being real researchers if they're subjectively throwing away anything that has to do with the paranormal. Because this is real science that mainstream science is ignoring. And I didn't ignore it, and it led me to the real Sasquatch, which are a people, which my whole life now has changed over the last 35 years, and I've grown tremendously. And my whole life is rich now because of it. And this can happen to other people, but not in the way they're doing. Their egos are too involved. And if your ego is involved, then you're all for yourself. You're not for anything else and for the proof, and therefore you'll drive them away, keep pushing them away.
Kawani, I've written about the interdimensional Sasquatch for a number of years now, and during my research I received a phone call from a woman in British Columbia who says she was a daughter of Kutani Shaman. She stated that most Native tribes seem to believe that Sasquatch is a non-physical creature. Some tribal leaders mentioned that, they've seen this creature shape-shift into a wolf. Now, she said her father thought that the creatures lived in another dimension from our physical plane, but can come here at any time it wishes. And he also believed that Sasquatch had great psychic abilities and that the creature can be visible to some people while at the same time remain invisible to others in the same group. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, everything you've said is true. When I studied with a woman named Kiwe Denokwe, Woman of the Northwest Wind, she was an Ojibwe shamaness, Mm-hmm. And she spoke her own language fluently, but she also had a PhD in ethnobotany. I had the opportunity to study with her for almost 2 years, and I went out to her island even for 5 months and experienced the Sasquatch there. When I asked her, of course, this was early on, 1981, about I forgot what the question was, but it's something like, do you believe that they can kill a Sasquatch? And she looked at me and looked startled, and she said, how can you kill a spirit? So you may say, oh, see, they believe they're just a spirit. No, she was saying that that's her understanding of interdimensionalism,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that they're a spirit, because I've seen them a few hundred times where I could see through them. And sometimes I just see the outline of them and their energy standing right there next to me, or across the room, or any other place. So they are both. I was asked when I was speaking at the International Sasquatch Symposium in 1998, which took place at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. And someone in the audience said, you're confusing me. They said, are they physical or non-physical? They can't be both. And I said, that's precisely what I'm getting at. They are both. They have that ability. So when people try to separate them without having any experience with them, then they call them either just an animal, you know, amongst the contactees, it's a joke to humorously refer to them as the North American great apes, because the people who coin that are 100% wrong. And they're good people and everything, it's just that they're wrong. They haven't had any experience other than seeing a few tracks, and that doesn't mean anything until you actually experience them for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, one-on-one, and it changes a person's life forever.
It sounds like it definitely does. We are talking with Kiwani Lapsaritis tonight on the show, Beyond the Edge Radio Live here on the Para X Radio Network. It's 9:18 here on the East Coast. Our phone lines are open at toll-free 877-677-2858. And with that, we go to the phone. Good evening and welcome to Beyond the Edge Radio. Caller, are you there?
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Yes, hey, Eric.
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Eric, Juan and Amy. How you doing tonight?
Doing good. Is this Brian Seach?
Yes.
Hey, Brian. I thought I recognized the voice.
Yeah, I couldn't get through any other number for some reason. But
you have a question for Kiwani.
Yes. Kiwani. First of all, I'd like to thank you for doing your, you know, for doing all the research that you've been doing. I'm actually reading your book now, The Sasquatch People, and basically I'd like to thank you. There's more people out there that believe what's in your book than what you think. A lot of them just don't want to come out and talk about it for fear of being ridiculed by the Sasquatch.
Yes, I know a couple of mainstream people that have had these experiences. If I mentioned their names, you would know them, but
uh-huh.
They quietly came to me, and I respect what they said. They didn't want their names out there. And I said to the person, one of the people, he says, I don't want my name out there because so-and-so won't talk to me, another veteran researcher. And I said, but he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know any of this stuff, and he doesn't want to know it, and that's why he's unsuccessful. So you're supposed to go out and say this. That's why they gave you that experience. The more people that have mental telepathy, the more people that have interdimensional experiences, the more it'll become a reality without killing a Sasquatch or an ancient one. So this is, you know, really important, and why people are holding back. So what? Words can't hurt you. They haven't hurt me, and I've been out there all these years speaking, and I've only had deep adulation towards me for putting my head on the chopping block kind of thing. But I was just into truth, not into exploiting them. Of course, in the beginning, you know, I wanted to, proof and everything, but now it doesn't make any difference. It's, I tell people, well, if you've got the right stuff, so to speak, you know, I can point to an area and you can go out there and experience them for yourself. I did this for a woman down in Los Angeles, and she sent me four maps. They were topographic maps, the quadrant maps, and three of them were of the forested areas, and one was in the high desert. And I told her, there are none right now in the forest. They're just in the high desert. And they're mining, doing mining work for friendly ETs. And you just have to, if you go out, and I marked the place on the map, I said, wait there. She said, but that's 3/4 of a mile away. I said, it doesn't make any difference. They'll come to you. Mm-hmm. So she did. This is the first time she went out there. On a Saturday night, she stayed one night and went home. And she went out, and a Sasquatch, as soon as it got dark and she started a fire, it was in January, it was cold, and a Sasquatch came to the edge of her camp and stood there looking at her. After it left, she saw a spaceship, and this is what she said to me. She said, you know where you've got it marked, where they're doing mining work, and you said they're spaceships? And I said, yes. And she said, well, that's where I saw it, and it rose up into the air. It was round and glowing, and it went right over my campground. And you told me I could telepath to it. So I did, and I said, oh, come back. I want to see you. She said, it stopped in midair, turned and started coming towards her. And she said, no, I'm not ready. It freaked her out, and it turned. It stopped again, and then it continued on its way. So these are things. She's not a researcher, and she had this experience just the first time out there because she had an open heart. And often the Sasquatch have said to me, when I start to get too heady and too scientific about things, that is too analytical, and they said, Kiwoni, get out of your head and back into your heart. That's where all the knowledge is. That's where everything flows. Just stop analyzing everything and go with the flow of everything. Don't analyze it to pieces. And so I had to relearn that because after 10 years of college and all the different degrees and stuff, it's very much inculcated in me to be analytical. So I still am to a point, but I go with the flow and let them teach me. And they keep teaching me things that I'm learning about them and about myself in order to be a better person and to contribute to the planet, to making for a better world. Even if it's just a small bit, it's every bit right now counts because the whole planet is under threat of just, you know, falling apart, and starting with the world economy and World War III and many other things that they're very much aware of. So anyhow, that's people can benefit if they read my books and try to understand this more and put it in a perspective that's more gentle field approach to connecting with the Sasquatch people.
Now, the one thing that I would like to ask you, and I have heard of people like giving them gifts and you know, and doing things for them. Is there anything like that you could suggest? You know,
well,
I've
never habituated them myself, but I do from time to time leave gifts for them. I don't need to habituate them. I can just telepath to them, and all of a sudden, if it's important enough, they'll be here. If it's for curiosity or to ask them something trivial, at times they just sort of ignore me because they're busy doing other things. But the habituation thing is okay, but again, when I know they're right there, then I go ahead and put things out for them. But it's just a little gift. It's not to habituate. I think that's what you're talking about, habituation. So
No. I'm talking about basically, like, you know, in an area, I'd say we would go into a state park. We have a state park close to us, which we believe that there are some there, to leave something for them to show to show a good intention. No, it's the park is about 40 minutes away. It's not that close, but you know, would something like that be a good idea? What I'm saying is, I'm like Eric, and me and Eric have talked about this for a long time. We both want to see it. We're not going to prove. I don't really want to prove it to anybody. I'd like to see, one have an encounter. My wife and I, or some of my group members, and then maybe I walk away from it because I just like to prove it to myself.
Well, they've told me, and they told other people that they're not interested in people just for curiosity's sake. They're really very adamant about that. They don't want to waste their time. People think that, I think it was Peter Byrne that said that many years ago, back in the 80s, that they just go around, they're so large, that they're eating leaves and roots all day long to maintain themselves. And that's not true at all, that they lead this simple life of going around eating leaves, you know, and roots and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's absurd, as a matter of fact. They're busy doing things. They know how to manipulate energy and to work with the grid systems of the planet Earth. And so there's an electrical field around the planet because it's a living organism. And they can maintain a lot of these grid systems. And they do all kinds of different things that I don't understand because they haven't shared it with me yet. But here's an example. A friend of mine moved here from another town a couple hundred miles away. And when he did, this was about 6 months ago, he stayed with me until he found a new place. And the ancient ones were coming around, and I asked them, in front of him, I said out loud, you know, so he would hear, would you show John here that you're really here, because he has no experiences with your people, and he's a friend of mine. Would you do something to let him know that you're here? And they agreed, but nothing happened. So that was like in the evening, early evening. And during the time of the evening, nothing happened. So the next morning, after breakfast, I was we were talking here, and he said, who's tooting the horn? And I said, I don't know. Who is tooting the horn? And I said, I don't hear anything. And he opened the door, and the horn of my car was blasting. Toot, 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 like that. And the thing is, I don't have, that was not my horn going, it was not my horn tooting, and I don't have a mechanism that does that in my car. It does not do it. It's an older car. It gets 40 miles to a gallon, so I keep it. And however, the lights were flashing off and on as well. And my friends, I can't believe it. And I said, I can't either, considering that's not my horn tooting. He said, but it's your car. And I says, that's okay. I says, that's them proving to you that they're here, because they can affect any kind of electromagnetic devices or anything that's electrical. Mm-hmm. And so there you go again. That was just a few months ago, and he was just astonished by this tooting and the flashing of the, and here it was in the daytime, and how they did that, who knows? I don't know. I don't really care, other than I keep having unusual but very pleasant experiences with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I'm looking forward to finishing up your book. I hope that you do write another one. And I would like to say, you know, keep up the good work. I think more people will eventually come around to, you know, to your way of thinking. And thanks, Eric and all them, Eric and Lon. You guys do a great job, man. Take care.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for calling in.
I'd like to make one more comment here that there are other contactees that are, you know, producing books now that are talking about the same thing I'm talking about. Their experiences are unique and different than mine, but certainly there's some overlap and experiences that I've never had. For example, Andy Robson has a book coming out in next month, and you go to SasquatchRevelations.com. There's a woman named Kelly Nesbitt down in Arkansas that will have a book out that's coming out. There's Todd Michael, who already has a book out on Sasquatch. And you can reach any of these people through my website of www.sasquatchpeople.com. When these books are out, I'll be advertising them because these people had unique experiences that they want to share with the public. And you'll be able to reach their websites through mine. And, again, these are important books that are coming out that really tell who the Sasquatch people and the ancient ones are and explain how they interact, the dynamics of all this, and not just, oh, I found some tracks, or I found a couple of pieces of hair. I did all that using a forensic scientist who was an expert on the electronic microscope. And I've had all these blown up and checked out and analyzed to pieces, and it got me nowhere, absolutely nowhere. I've got lots of photographs. They got me nowhere because people don't believe them. They want a body or something, which isn't going to happen. In fact, this thing with Rich Dyer, when the Sasquatch was asked, "What is it, a real Sasquatch?" he never answered. He was too busy laughing uproariously. I think we all were. That's another, most likely another Tom Biscardi deal,
right?
Some sorts. Anyway, we don't need to go there, but
please. I think we're all in agreement on that, Kwani.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on tonight, Kwani. You have a great night.
Yeah. Thank you for your interest in my work.
Have a good night, Brian. All right, we're going to take our break at the bottom of the hour now. It's 9:32 here on the East Coast, and you're listening to Beyond the Edge Radio, live here on the Para X Radio Network. Our guest tonight, Kiawani Lapsaritis. His book, The Sasquatch People, is now available if you go to his website, sasquatchpeople.com. You can also pick up a copy of his first book, Psychic Sasquatch, both available on the website for purchase. And we'll continue to take your questions and calls, toll-free 1-877-677-2858. We'll open the phone lines after the break. Right now, we're going to step away for some commercials, and we'll be back after this, right here on the Para X Radio Network.
And Mama warned you there'd be shows like this. Beyond the Edge Radio. Beyond the Edge Radio.
And welcome back to tonight's program. This is BTE Radio, live here on the Para X Radio Network. And tonight our guest is Kiawani Lapsaritis. We're talking about his books, The Psychic Sasquatch, and, of course, The Sasquatch People. It's been a fascinating conversation so far, and we're running out of time. We've only got about 20 minutes left in the program, and there's so many questions that I want to ask. I know Lon has. Amy has a couple of questions for you, Kiawani. I want to say thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing your time with us, and hopefully we can have you back on for a future show where we can discuss more of this fascinating subject.
Yes, I'm willing to do that.
Excellent. Most excellent.
In the meantime, a lot of people can go to sasquatchpeople.com to check out my website.
Very good. SasquatchPeople.com. And if you go to our website, BeyondTheEdgeRadio.com, there is a link right there that you can click on that will take you right to Kiwani's website. There's bio information there and a couple pictures of his book covers, so you can check that out by going to BeyondTheEdgeRadio.com, and you can find all that information right there as well. Now, Amy, are you back with us?
I am back with you.
You have some questions for Kiwani.
Okay. Kat's been patiently waiting. It has to do with language. Now, you speak with them telepathically. Is there any vocal language involved as well?
Yes. They've, of course, I don't understand the language or anything like that. But to start with, I was told by Haloti, who's an ancient one, she's about 39, 40 years old, and she said that they have every fall during the autumn solstice, that they have a corn festival where the ancient ones, the Sasquatch people, and the little people get together for a feast and share things, and then they do trading of minerals and gemstones and things.
Okay.
This is what they said. And I said, oh, and I said, so you do interact with the Sasquatch? And she said, yes, we know their talk. And that's how she said it. In other words, they all have separate languages.
Okay.
And now the confusing part is like Scott Nelson, who is a linguist in Missouri, that has noted a pattern in some of the recordings. I have recordings of them that are speaking English. So they can speak telepathically, which they do most of the time. However, I was near a portal in the Black Fork Mountain Wilderness in 2006. This is in Arkansas, and this was about the third or fourth time I've heard them. But I'm going to tell you what it sounds like. You know, something like this. Something like that, you know, that, you know, sounds like gibberish, but of course it's a language. So at any rate, they've got their own language that they can speak out loud. There were three of them by the portal, and I was about 100 feet away in the tent. So why they spoke out loud, maybe because they were side by side, and they didn't need a telepath at any distance. I don't know. But they do have their own language. They do take, for example, in Texas, they named some of their kids, giving them a Mexican name. Another one had a Cherokee name. Another one a Choctaw name. Another one, Haloti's grandmother, is named Sally. And I asked her, why is her name Sally? They said, well, her parents liked the name Sally, so they gave it to her. And I said, but where did they get the name? She said, oh, they got the name when the red-bearded people went up the Mississippi and visited this area. Well, the only red-haired people I would know would be the Celtic people. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is... Anyway, all that I know or understand what they've shared with me.
Okay. Yeah, and you kind of answered the second part of her question, how long did it take you to learn their language, but you said you don't know it.
No, and that they, I mean, there some Sasquatch are more sophisticated than others. Mm-hmm. Some are more simplistic. A chief named Pashoma, that they consider me family, they said. This was in the Oklahoma's Kayamishi Wilderness, and that I visited numerous times. And he had a hard time printing out English. They can't write longhand, but some of them, just like some people study or, you know, live in southern Arizona or southern Texas, they can speak pretty good Spanish, and some people can just speak a few words because they're around, you know, Mexican people. So that's fine. That's how it works with them as well.
Okay.
Let me think what else I was going to say. The last time I was there was in 2012, May, let's see, I believe it was May 2012, yes. And I stayed for 10 days because they've asked me to come to be a part of, to go underground with them, to be around the Council of Elders, that there were questions and they wanted my input. So I quickly flew down there, and when I got there, Pashoma was asked to go someplace else, and they took him in a ship. It was an emergency. What it was, I don't know beyond that. Mm-hmm. But Haloti came in every single evening, just as the sun was going down, to sing me the Whippoorwill song. And it was beautiful, just unbelievably beautiful. And the last night there, I told her that I loved her very much and that this is probably the last time that I would be down there because of earth changes, that I may not be able to fly down there again.
Mm-hmm.
She cried. She told me she loved me, and she cried. And I had my alarm set for 7 o'clock the next morning for someone to pick me up there and then drive the 5 hours back to Dallas to catch my flight. And Haloti came back in at 6 in the morning and sang me the Whippoorwill song again while she was crying. So these are beautiful people that I've learned to love unconditionally. And this is, if it sounds airy-fairy, then whoever thinks it's airy-fairy missed the boat on that one completely, because that's the secret to the whole thing. Unconditional love directly from your heart, no exploitation, no analysis, just go with the flow and be a part of them. And like I said, it took me a while to catch on because of my academic background, but this is who they are. This is what it's really about.
Very interesting. Well, I don't know. Lon, Eric, do you want to jump in with your question?
You had one more question for him, I believe.
Well, I kind of did, because a lot of what you've been talking about kind of touches on a lot of my beliefs as well. I'm a spiritualist. So I really heavily believe in, you know, you really have to view the world through your heart more than what you see or hear. You know, a lot of spiritualists, light workers, mediums, psychics believe in, you know, we have spirit guides that work with us and give us messages. Is that kind of what you, kind of the same thing that you're talking about? Do you have certain representatives that come and contact you? Or?
Yes, and they're giving all the contactees, those that are ongoing, have their own one or two guides that are Sasquatch or ancient ones. And there's one person that I know of, Kelly Nesbitt, down in Arkansas, that has both. She has Suni, who is a female Sasquatch that gives her advice. And then George, again, his family liked the name George, so gave him the name, who's an ancient one. They come and go, and they listen in. They can bilocate. They can be at two places at once, and they can quickly listen in on you while they're doing something else. And if they have to bilocate and go to help you or to give you advice on something, because I don't do anything or try to jump ahead of them unless they give me advice on it. I tried before and said, oh, I'm going to do this. This will help out, and I'm going to do this or that. And they said, no, we don't want that. And I thought it was a brilliant idea kind of thing. And they said, little brother, please keep in mind it is us that is directing you, not you directing us. So I just shut up and listened.
Always very hard to do. All right, well, thank you.
Well, we're coming down to like the last 5 minutes of the show, Kiwani. You mentioned before when we were on break that you had a whole bunch of different lectures coming up throughout the rest of this year. Would you be kind enough to share where you're going to be so that folks that want to come out and hear your lecture and meet you in person are able to do that?
Yes, thank you. Of course, they can go to my website, SasquatchPeople.com, which is being updated this month here, over the next few days. It'll be completely updated because I just got a gig tonight again. It seems like every time I turn around, someone's calling. This month I'll be down in a MUFON chapter, that is the Mutual UFO Network, outside of San Diego. I'll be speaking on the 17th down there. In May, I'll be speaking in McMinnville, Oregon at the McMinnville UFO Fest or Festival. And I'll be speaking there. They'll have many of the UFO researchers there that are very well known all over. Then in September, I'll be speaking down at a different MUFON chapter in Phoenix. And then in November, I'll be speaking in Las Vegas again at a conference there. So the exact dates and names of the conferences and so forth, and a link to be able to get more information will be on my website probably within the week here.
Excellent. And we did discuss earlier, your book Psychic Sasquatch is available on your website to purchase.
Yes, Psychic Sasquatch and Their UFO Connection has been available at my website, and it's not for hundreds of dollars like they put on eBay. It's simply $20. That includes the tax, and then another $5 for a envelope and for postage.
I keep it as
low as I can in order to make it available for people.
I'm going to be ordering it.
I autograph all books no matter what, you know.
Excellent. I definitely will be ordering it because, as I said, I started to read it a few years back, maybe 10 years ago, and I just wasn't able to keep it because the person wanted it back, so I wasn't able to finish it. But I am going to get a copy of it, plus the Sasquatch People is available as well.
Yes, and the Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection is available, and this summer I'll be starting I'm not going to get into it. There's a lot of things this year that's happening that they've already told me about and told me some things that are about to happen and where they want me to be and so forth. But I will be working on another book this summer, and I just taking it one step at a time and based on what they're guiding me and telling me.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you personally for coming on the show with us tonight, Kiwani. It's been a real pleasure to talk with you and to learn about what you've been dealing with for the past 35-plus years with the Sasquatch people, the Ancient Ones, and the Guardians. And it kind of ties into what a lot of researchers are unfortunately not going public with. They're not opening up about, but I do talk to a lot of researchers, and there's more out there that have that kind of mind frame that you're discussing tonight than people realize.
Yes, and those that are poo-pooing my research or laughing at me are really laughing at themselves. Most of them are real good people and everything, but they're just in left field and just doing their little thing, and that's okay. I guess everyone has to learn. I went through it, so it's not any big criticism other than if they're after an animal, they're 100% wrong. If they want to interact and communicate with an evolved people, then they'd be 100% right.
Well, thank you for your time tonight. We really do appreciate it. SasquatchPeople.com is the website. Our guest tonight, Kiwani Lapsaritis, thank you for spending your Sunday night with us.
Yes, and thank you for having me.
We'll be in touch to have you on with us again very soon as well.
Thank you again.
What a great show, Lon and Amy. And I know our listeners were very intrigued in the chat room tonight. There was a lot of questions going on there, and a lot of folks really enjoyed the program tonight. We had a lot of live listeners tonight. So, Kiwani, great guest tonight on the show. Guys, your thoughts?
Well, he preaches a lot of what I believe in. I mean, maybe not everything, but it's along the same lines. So it was a fascinating show.
I agree. Amy?
Yeah, I really learned a lot, and what I did really like was, you know, we got to take care of the Earth. We got to kind of change the way we view things, so, and the way we approach things. So I enjoyed that part of it.
I agree. I definitely enjoyed our guest tonight, and I will be reaching out to him privately in the next few days to discuss this further, because I believe that he does have a lot of great information to share with us, as well as some different routes that I'm interested in pursuing, some different rabbit holes that I'm probably going to jump down and see where they lead.
Yeah, you got to jump in them once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. As you guys know, and our listeners know, I'm kind of skeptical when it comes to the Bigfoot phenomenon. Not so much that I'm not a believer they exist. I'm pretty certain there is something out there. I've just never seen one. But I keep my mind open, and I try to look at all avenues. I just have a show-me kind of attitude. You know, I've got to see it for myself to believe it. And perhaps I'm going about things the wrong way. So maybe I'll reach out to Kiwani privately and see what he can suggest, and maybe try to follow up with some of his suggestions and see where it leads.
Well, I've never believed it until I saw it, and I still didn't believe it. But I tell you, all these years I've researched this phenomena, I'm pretty sure there's something out there, but there is a paranormal aspect to it, I'm quite sure.
Well, there's something strange about it, that's for sure. What it is, I don't know, and I don't know if I'll ever know, but I'm always asking questions. I'm always wanting to know more, and I try to keep an open mind when it comes to all of this. You know, I want to learn. So, you know, you got to look at all avenues, I believe. We're about to the end of the program, guys, and just before we go, a quick announcement. As folks remember, last week Amy was on doing our paranormal news, and a great job that she did. And she joined us tonight filling in for Sean, and Amy has agreed that when Sean is off or not able to join us in the show, she's going to join in a co-hosting capacity. So we want to welcome you aboard in that aspect, Amy.
Aw, thank you. Applause.
Yay. And I'm sure you'll do just as good as Sean, if not better.
Well, I kind of bring a touchy-feely aspect to it, but okay.
A woman's touch.
Yeah.
Sean just brings a whiny touch to it. No, I'm kidding. We love Sean. He's our good buddy. Helped get BTE Radio off the ground. He's missing in action tonight. And again, we send our condolences to Sean and his family for their loss this past week. He'll be back next week on the show. And speaking of next week's program, another great guest is going to be joining us. It's getting to that time where we have more and more strange things to talk about on the show. It's the spring, and things are starting to warm up, and people are getting outdoors and looking up into the sky and seeing some strange phenomenon. I know, Amy, you've seen something strange up there. I've seen something strange. Lon, I think you're in that boat as well.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of strange things.
Haven't we all?
In the sky?
Not necessarily in the sky.
Well, our guest next week on the program has been investigating strange reports of things in the sky for quite some time, and she's going to be joining us to tie the two together, paranormal and UFOs. Her name is Karen Dolan. She's an investigator, lecturer, and host of the radio program Through the Keyhole, which can be heard on the Paranormal Radio Network. Karen will join us next week, as I said, to tie together the possibility of the UFOs and the paranormal having a connection. So another unusual show we have to look forward to next week, guys.
Yep. Sounds that way.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So we invite you to tune in next Sunday night, 8 p.m. start time. Karen will be on at 8:30. And another great show coming your way here on BTE Radio. Guys, that's it for us. We got to hit the door for the next show that's up next, which is Revenant Reality, which comes up next here on the Para X Radio Network. So anything before we go?
Nope. See everybody next week.
See you next week. Night all.
Everybody have a great week, and we'll catch you again next Sunday night. Good night, everybody.
Join us for another live edition of Beyond the Edge Radio, Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Para X Radio Network. Archive shows are available on Podomatic, Parapods, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Para X Radio Network, or our official website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. To contact Eric, Lon, or Sean, email us at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Beyond the Edge Radio is a Beyond the Edge Entertainment production heard here on the Para X Radio Network.